You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
One day not long ago, a producer friend of mine, Susan Gallen, an award-winning producer, called me and said, I have someone I want you to meet, and I need you to read her book. You are really going to think it's something special. And then she told me about Eleanor Reeser, who is a Tony-nominated director, a television actress, a playwright, former artistic director of the world's oldest Yiddish theater, and a singer who's worked everywhere in festivals all over the world and in our city. And Eleanor is a renowned storyteller in both English and Yiddish. Her parents survived the Holocaust, and she has a podcast in conjunction with Yale University, Those Who Were There, Voices of the Holocaust. This memoir, The Letters Project, A Daughter's Journey, is available wherever books are sold. So you say, Eleanor, and welcome to you.
Oh, thank you so much, John.
Your mom died. Well, it's, and you went through her things and you found an old leather bag which had letters in it. But I'm going to let you explain.
Well, when my mother passed in 1986, I found these letters in her lingerie drawer, 56 of them, all written in German, all written from 1949, all written from the man who would become my father, who had died in 1976, who she had divorced in 1966. And so it was really unclear to me why she kept these letters for so long and never told me about them. And I myself put the letters in my own lingerie drawer because I just didn't know what to do with them. And translating 56 handwritten letters is more difficult than one might imagine. And so it wasn't until 2018, 30 years later, I was acting in Paula Vogel's Indecent on Broadway, and I had some extra money and decided to have them translated. And the book is about these letters and where they took me to Germany and Israel and into my own life and into the world that I had no idea existed and who my parents actually were.
You know, that's the part too that is so fascinating, because even if you did not grow up with a family or in a family that suffered the trauma that your family did, and even suffering in America when your father finally made it, your father, whom you knew as your father growing up, was a totally different person from the man behind those letters that you started to read as you had them translated.
Yes, I mean, that indeed was so incredible. The guy I knew, the guy who was my father, who came to America in 1950, was a sweatshop worker. He had funny accent. He had false teeth. He didn't belong here. He was an other. And that's who I thought he was, Joan. That's who I thought my father was, illiterate, etc. And that's who I thought I was the daughter of.
Right. But you weren't proud.
I was not proud. I'm saddened to say I was not proud. Au contraire, right? I was kind of ashamed and kind of embarrassed and kind of wished that I came from a family that looked like Dick and Jane and Spot and Puff, you know, a family where the father sat on a big chair reading the newspaper, smoking a pipe. Mm-hmm. And that's not who my father was, at least not in America. And what I learned was that I met my father was 50 when I was born and died when I was 70, when he was 76. And so 2/3 of his life had passed. Before I knew him, I knew him in the last third, and in the last third post Auschwitz, post Death March, post horrors of Nazi Germany. That's who I knew. That's when I knew him. Before that time, I learned in this journey on from my book was that he was a guy. I mean, he was attractive and hot and poetic and
loved your
a man
mother.
Of the community. And I learned how strong he was, Joan, right?
Of course. And a man who had a real life and real friends. But your journey was incredible, too, because once you got into it and meeting a whole different world involved with translating these letters and who had histories, too, and past, this adventure took you to Germany, to other places that you never even thought you would go to or truthfully never cared about much in those years.
That's right. And it's a great word. It was an adventure. It's like it's a bit of an adventure story mixed with a mystery of just because I was so unprepared. I was so open because my life in the theater is so improvisational, really. And I'm so not a researcher that I just followed my nose, and I was really lucky, wasn't I? The people that helped me, the strangers that led me. My editor said something like, this journey was designed from above. You know, it was a bit magical the way pieces fell into place, and it was just one surprise after another.
Well, and by coincidence, the letters revealed names. Now, this is years and years ago, and yet many of these names led to real people and real contacts. I particularly was enamored with when there was a man who was one of your father's good friends, photographs, and you found the name of his daughter and then found her. When you went abroad, and first she was like, you know, who is this? And then she agreed, all right, I'll meet you, when you said you had a photograph of her father. But the likelihood of all this happening is so remote and rare.
Yeah, that meeting was remarkable. I went to one particular town, and in these letters, indeed, as you say, there are these names that meant nothing to me. And I went to one town, and a rabbi said, well, you know, you should go to Stuttgart because there's a woman there who knows everything about the Jews of that time. And he spelled her name for me, and I thought, oh, my God, that name is so familiar. And as you say, I wound up meeting her. She was born 5 days before me, the same year, and her father, she knew the names in the letter. This one, my father missed out on a community of people who he knew and loved in order to be with my mother in the United States, where he kind of gave up everything to be with her. And then, of course, the marriage didn't work out. And
the American dream wasn't happening.
No, not for him. And it was, you know, it was a life, as there's a Yiddish expression, you know, such a life you wish on enemies. Right. And that was my father's life. But in Europe, he was something. And this woman who I met, I wasn't even looking for her, Joan. I mean, it wasn't like I thought, oh, I'll try to track down the names in these letters. It didn't. It just fell down like, you know, secret word from Groucho, and that's how it went. That's how the whole trip wound up being.
And then Eleanor, I'm talking to Eleanor Reeser, talking about the Letters Project, and Eleanor is very involved in the theater. She's a singer, a lecturer, a writer, a producer, a director, and went through an experience that was rather extraordinary. She found her family through letters that were in German that she had translated, and in a way found herself too, and found relatives that you hadn't thought about or hadn't been in the same way connected through a past. And that had to be eye-opening.
It really was eye-opening. One of the people who helped me took me to this memorial. I mean, there are many memorials in Germany erected to the people who suffered and were killed during the war. I went to this one, this transport station. And it was certainly innocent enough. It was just a memorial, but it was like Maya Lin's Vietnam Memorial, and all these names were inscribed on what was really a group tombstone. And I found my father's, I found basically my name, my father's last name, with the name of his first wife who was killed, and his daughter who was four and killed. And I realized, it hadn't occurred to me because it just hadn't, that she was my half sister. But it was a really inspiring trip, Joan. I always thought of myself as the daughter of Holocaust survivors, and but when I read the account of my father in Auschwitz and on the death march, I understood that I was the daughter of a fighter, of a man who fought with every breath of his life, with every cell in his body.
To survive.
And that's what I realized everyone was, you know.
And he wouldn't, little things that you realize, he slept with his shoes on.
Yeah.
Because he was so afraid, as they were, that someone would take them. And little tiny things that one would never think of. So, yeah. Eleanor, now that you've done this and refound yourself in many ways, what are you planning? You're a storyteller and a theater person. What's going to happen with the Letters Project? Where are you going to go with it?
Thanks, Joan. I've never worked so hard in my life. I mean, promoting things, it's so important for me that people read this, because it showed me who I was, and I think it could show people who they are and how to look at their parents and history in a way that they hadn't thought of before. And, I'm hoping, my secret hope, of course, is that it becomes a kind of film for Netflix. And I was listening to your Juliana Margulies interview the other day, and I thought, oh, yeah, Juliana Margulies, I'd like to get her the book so that she star in this movie.
That would be, why not?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, when you first found a package of letters, it never dawned on you where this would take you and what it's done for you. And it's also interesting when you think about your parents and your family and your father, and you were a good daughter. A lot of it was your sense of obligation, but you didn't really know this man, like so many of us didn't know our parents, even without the terrible trauma your family had gone through. They never revealed themselves, and your father never disclosed all that he had been through and what his life was like.
It took him. Yeah, I mean, how could, you know, what parent would want to tell their child the worst nightmare you couldn't even imagine? Right. I mean, who would want their child to know that they lived in hell and what hell was like? And also, at the time that, so my father died in 1976, just 30 years after liberation from Auschwitz, right? So it was still so new. It wasn't like now, when the Holocaust is a huge topic. These people were not encouraged to speak. They were encouraged after the war to be quiet, and nobody had heard of PTSD, and nobody treated them. Nobody said to them, "Oh my goodness, you lived. What can we do for you? How can we help you? You're a strong person, not a weak person." I mean, it was so, we so did not care for these people. We marginalized them and minimized them. And
we recognized their suffering, but
correct.
We didn't want to share it or them to share it with the world. People were afraid. Too many wounds open up, too much horror. But you sort of braved the storm and carried on with it, entrusting a lot of it to then strangers who became part of your extended family, who wept with you, who themselves couldn't believe what was unfolding in one man's letters to a woman he would later marry.
Yeah. The help from strangers, and in particular German strangers, was so, they were so kind to me and so interested and thoughtful. And indeed, you know, the woman who translated was a stranger to me. And yet we looked over we found different transcripts and we looked over them and wept together. Yes.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And I have a feeling you've just started on yet another adventure with the Letters Project, A Daughter's Journey. How did your family, before I let you go, react to all this? You talk about relatives, people who were like, yeah, let me know. It's interesting, but sort of brushed it aside.
You know, it's a great question, Joan, about, I was very, you know, I wrote bravely and I thought, I'm gonna write what I think and I'm gonna say what I think. And people who have written memoirs before said to me, listen, you better be careful because people who are alive may be angry at you. And I thought, oh no, I don't care. I'm just gonna be true to myself. And people did get angry with me when the book was published, and it was very upsetting
to me.
Why were
they angry?
Well, because I sometimes say things, I'm pretty direct, and in the book, if I think something that's perhaps not that kind, I say so. And then, of course, it transforms, and I learn really that what I've said was not true, and I say that I made a mistake, but they go through a bit of a not-so-positive experience. And so, but everything's okay now.
Well,
people
part of that is they have to look at themselves.
That's
in
correct.
A light, true or false, there's some reality to all of it.
That is absolutely correct, and there have been things that certain people have not looked at for decades that this book kind of forced them to look at, and at first they were angry about it, but now it has enhanced their life, I would say, and it's even more meaningful because they got to shed something that they didn't know they were carrying with them for decades.
Exactly. And they get to add the real story of a flesh and blood human being who survived the worst atrocities, only to find disappointment in our great country. And yet he left a story that's forever. Thank you, Eleanor. Eleanor Reeser.
Thank you. I just want to thank you so much.
No, it was incredibly moving. I learned and I suffered along with you. The Letters Project, A Daughter's Journey. Well, I can't wait to hear what's happening next with this. Take care of yourself, Eleanor. And
thank you. You too,
again.
Joan. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.